Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Before we get started, just a quick note to say that some of the names in this podcast have been changed to protect their identities, but the stories you are about to hear are very real indeed. Please check the episode show notes for trigger warnings, as listener discretion is advised. If you'd like to share your story on the Affair podcast, please email our wonderful producers on affair@curvemedia.com. Welcome to The Affair Podcast. I'm Anna Williamson. Now, if you don't know me, I'm a relationship therapist, coach, and TV personality. Now, this podcast will unveil the secrets behind modern day affairs as we explore everything from emotional affairs to rebuilding trust after betrayal. 1 in 5 people have admitted to having an affair, but it's a topic that is rarely explored and remains taboo because it sparks such powerful emotions and judgments. Each episode features a different real-life affair story told by the people involved and offers insights into the emotions, causes, and consequences of infidelity in today's world. From the motivations behind affairs to the impact on relationships, we'll uncover the raw truth behind one of the most painful aspects of human relationships. So, without further ado, let's meet today's guest. This week on The Affair, I have Claire. Nice to meet you, Claire.
Thank you. Nice to meet you too.
Thank you for being brave enough to come on to my podcast to explain and share with us your situation around infidelity. So as I always start every episode with my guests, it's to ask the what role that they have taken within the typical triangle of an affair.
So I was the person who had the affair done to me.
So you were the person that was cheated on?
Yeah.
So there we set the scene. So can you take us back then, Claire, to the very beginning and let us know what your relationship was like, who this person was that you were with, how you got together and how those sort of first days of infancy started out?
Yeah, so my ex-partner, we met at college, so 17, 18, and it was pretty much what I thought was like a fairy tale relationship. Like everything moved really quickly, which obviously now I know is the biggest red flag you could probably ever have. But yeah, it was very intense, a very intense relationship from the very beginning. And yeah, it seemed to everybody else like it was the perfect relationship. And I think that's what other people thought as well at the beginning.
And when you say, you know, it seemed to everybody else, so was it a relationship that, you know, your friends and your family knew about, were happy about?
They seemed happy at first, but then as the weeks went on and the months went on, it was like they were really distancing themselves from it. It was being very controlling where I could go and who I could see, but I was just captivated by, well, he's only doing it because he wants me, and this is how he's showing his love for me. And it pretty much went on like that for the whole relationship, which was 9 years.
Wow. Okay. So you are aware now that this was a controlling relationship. So can you explain just characteristically really what was going on around that?
So he was very like PDA, like he was constantly like kissing, hugging in front of people to like show that I was his, we were in a relationship. Gifts were ridiculous, like the amount of gifts that he would give me was just, there was just no need for it, really. Money, he'd just throw money at me like it was nothing. Even when I'd say I don't want the money, it was always, the things that he was doing was always in front of people to make him look like the good guy. And I think because that picture was painted of him, I started to think, oh, well, he must be a really nice person because this is what he's doing for me and he's showing everybody else that this is what he's doing for me. At first it was, oh, let's go and do this together or let's go and do this with your family. But then it quickly turned to, don't think I want you to be around them anymore because they're saying things about me that aren't very nice and I think it's changing your view on me. So then because he'd built up the picture of him being such a nice guy, I had that then and I was like, well, why are these people saying this about him? Because he is nice, because he's done all this for me and he tells me how much he loves me and how we should be together and he's proposed to me after 2 months, so he must want to be with me.
Your friends and your family had obviously picked up on the fact that he was not a good partner for you. What did they say to you? How did they know that? What did they see or hear that made them know that he wasn't right for you? Because as you said, publicly he was being the good guy, sharing everything. So they obviously must have seen that, but they must have seen something else.
Yeah, I think they saw obviously that I was being controlled by him. I think they noticed it pretty quickly because it was my behaviour that was changing as well. Like I was being quite short with people and like if we were at a family event, I'd want to go early because I'd make up an excuse, but it was because he didn't want me to be there because he wasn't there or he hadn't been invited. And I think my family thought, like there's a cultural difference. So his family are from an Asian background. I'm white British. So there was the cultural difference as well, which I think worried them. There was a religious difference, which became very apparent. And I think they just could see how it was unfolding.
Were you planning on getting married?
That's what I assumed, yeah. I assumed, obviously, we've got engaged, we would be getting married at some point. He used to, he'd tell me that we were getting married and we would have to speak to family about the arrangement of the marriage and how it'd work. His family weren't keen on me.
You'd met them?
I met them, yeah. I met them quite a few times. They weren't very nice to me. And I think that was more on a race stance, like why they didn't like me. It was nothing to do with me. Like, I'd like to think I'm a nice person. And I generally get along with everybody. But straight away from the get-go, they didn't like me. So I know it was nothing to do with me personally.
What did he say about that? Did you ever broach it with him? I mean, did you continue to see his family and how long had you been together at this point?
So I continued to see his family. It was brought up, I would bring it up quite a lot about you don't just propose to somebody to not get married. So surely we need to start planning stuff and at least set a date. In my mind, I thought, well, I don't just want to be engaged to you. If you're going to propose to me and I'm going to accept, I want to be married to you. But he didn't make it. Like, it just didn't seem. It was more of like a trophy to him. Like, this is, I've put a ring on it now, so you're not going to go anywhere.
So then what happens next then with you guys?
I fall pregnant. We'd spoken about children. And it was an unexpected pregnancy. It wasn't planned, failed contraception, but it was, I think at the time it just felt a bit like we've got to this point now, like he's going to change now because he's going to be a dad and we're going to be a real family and nobody can break that. Even though other people didn't want it for us, they were happy for us. I felt like I was getting a bit of family back because he knew I needed support, like from my sister and my mum. So he allowed me to speak to them again. And I was just a bit like, yes, like this is the family that I wanted. And I felt like I was in a normal relationship.
And this, can you, and just reflecting back, you know, where you just said that, you know, he allowed me to speak to my mum and my sister again.
Yeah.
I mean, how, I mean, yeah, wowzers, that's powerful, isn't it? I mean, that really is sort of a controlling relationship in the very grips of it. And did you recognize that at the time? Do you recognize it now?
I recognize it now. I didn't at the time. But now I, like, when people say, like, my kids saved me, if I didn't fall pregnant when I did, if I didn't have my kids now, I'd still be in that relationship. I don't know how I wouldn't have had a way out if I didn't have the kids.
So you have this pregnancy, and how are your family at this point? So you're speaking with your family. Yeah, so how are they about the whole situation with him, with you, with the baby? And what about his family? Because this is the family that weren't very accepting of him. Were your family accepting? Well, you'd already said that they'd recognised that he was a bad egg. But what was going on around that dynamic?
My family were really, really supportive. Straight away, they were, what can we do? What can we buy? Like, really, just really, really excited. Not the same for his family. His family were vile, if I'm being honest. We didn't tell them until I was 20 weeks because we thought that they would try and do something to try and convince me to get rid of the pregnancy, which,
gosh,
when we told them, they just assumed that I was at the beginning of my pregnancy and wasn't that far gone. And his mum actually said that she was going to take me to get rid of the problem.
Wow.
Like, I'm 20 weeks, like, there's no getting rid of it because we're too far. And even if there was, I wouldn't anyway. So yeah, they weren't happy at all.
So you had the baby. Was he there at the birth? And then what happened after you'd had the baby? What was life like for you?
So I moved to, so we were never living together during the pregnancy, before the pregnancy. I had my own flat and he would come and stay a few nights a week. But towards the end of the pregnancy, he was like, oh, I think we need to live together. To make it like a strong family unit. So I agreed, but his condition was that I had to move to where he lived, which was, it wasn't far, it was 30 miles down the road. So yeah, I moved and straight away got me to sell my car because we were going to share a car, but he was never there.
Right, right. Where was he? Well, I guess we'll find that one out in a moment, but where did he say he was?
He'd just say he was working, working late. So he'd come in at 3-4 in the morning. I knew that he'd be working later hours, but not to come in at 3-4 in the morning. But then I'd just assume he'd been to see his family, like his uncles and things like that. That's where he told me he was. He said he was with his uncles.
Right. And then you'd moved in at this time, so you'd had the baby. And tell me about the day after you'd had the baby. So was it hearts and flowers and, you know, here we are, united family of three? Because you just said it was very lonely in the isolation. So what happened?
He basically dropped me off at the door and said, I'm going to work.
How did you respond to that?
I think I was just a bit in shock. But I think, like, I was in shock anyway. I've just come home with a baby and he's just gone. So I rang my mum and I was like, hi, I'm at home now with the baby. And she was like, oh, fab. We'll come after your sister's finished work. So I was like, brilliant. I'm not going to be on my own for that long. A few hours and then my sister will be here and my mum. And they did. They came and then they went and then he didn't come home from work. And I was like, oh. So then the next day came and he rang me a few times, checking in, how are you? How are the baby? But yeah, it was mad. Like, I felt like I wasn't, like, it felt like it wasn't real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just in this baby bubble, absolutely bricking myself, thinking I've got to keep this baby alive and I don't know what I'm doing.
Did you ask him did you say, where are you?
It was never, I'll be home at this time. So then I couldn't ring him and be like, well, you told me you were going to be home at 10 and it's 11 and you're not home. It was just, I'll be home later.
And so did this sort of routine of not knowing where he was when he was coming home, how did this just then continue? So you're a new mom. Was this just a continual pattern that remained unchanged?
Yeah. I'd say it started just before I found out I was pregnant. So I found out I was pregnant in the February. I'd say it started in the December. But at first it was quite like subtle. Like we weren't living together anyway. So it was not like I needed to know where he was. But then when I found out I was pregnant, it was a bit more like, oh, well, I might need you at some point to be here, like at a moment's notice. So can you try and make yourself a bit more available?
And what was his answer to that?
Yeah, just ring me and I'll be there.
And if you rang him, was he there?
He was, but it wasn't always, like, it depended what the situation was. If I needed to go, like, a few times I had to go in, like, for monitoring. So I'd ring him and say, I need to go in for monitoring. Can you meet me at the hospital? And he'd be like, oh, well, I'm just a bit busy now, but I'll be there as soon as. He made himself available to speak to, but not really available in person.
Not presently, not physically available. Mm. Did you ever, it sounds quite sort of like chill, if it's probably a bit of a different word I should use, but what I'm trying to get at is it doesn't sound like there were any arguments or conflict around this. Mm. Did you just accept without question that that he comes and goes, or did you ever challenge him on it with it being more emotionally charged from your perspective?
I think when it first started happening, I was a bit more like, come on, but I think I realized quickly that there's just no point in arguing because it just ends up me getting a load of abuse. And accusations being thrown around on me. Like I did say to him a few times, like, where are you? Who are you with? Like, are you with somebody else? And he'd always say, no, you're cheating on me, aren't you? But then he'd make it into like a funny thing of, well, no, obviously you're going to be cheating on me because I'm not here and you're going to be bored and you're going to need somebody to fulfill your needs. So you must be cheating, but I'm not cheating because I'm at work, I'm providing.
Those that project are often mirroring one's own behaviour, which we'll get onto. So, and I hear you because, yeah, it sounds though, yeah, very much still in the grips of this abusive relationship, call it for what it is. You challenge him, you get it in the neck, you know, verbally, mentally, whatever it may be. Was he ever physical?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're in motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happened next?
So things started happening like financially. So obviously I'd had my car, I sold my car because we were sharing a car. But then all of a sudden I was getting calls from the letting agent who we let our house through. Your rent's 4 months late. I was like, what do you mean my rent's 4 months late? It's been paid. I'm on maternity leave. He's paying the rent. He wasn't paying the rent. So when it came to renew the rent at 6 months, like it was a 6 month tenancy. And then it was due to like carry on and rolling. But they said, we can't keep it rolling because your rent hasn't been paid for 4 months. But then it came apparent he's lying about something. I just didn't know what it was. I found out I was pregnant with my second, well, I would have been pregnant at my firstborn's first birthday party.
Oh, wow.
But I didn't know until I was 5 months pregnant with my second that I was pregnant. I'd moved back home with family because I was just so isolated. I had nobody. I had no vehicle. I was 30 miles away from my family. And I made the decision that I had to be around somebody because he was never there.
Right. And how was he about? So you moved back in with your mum?
Yes. Yeah.
with your baby and now you're pregnant again. How was he about you moving out from being with him, even though he wasn't even there, from your property back into your mum's?
He wasn't bothered. He had the option to rent another house with me in my mum's area, but conveniently forgot to send the paperwork back on time, so that fell through. When now I know that he was doing it to stall him coming here.
Right. Can I ask, Claire, what made you stay at that point? Because you have that opportunity to go and stay with your mum. What was keeping you in the relationship then?
I think I just didn't want my child to grow up in a broken family. I think that is, like, that's the one thing I never wanted. And I think even though we were doomed from the beginning and it was never going to be a proper family unit, I thought I'd be able to pretend for the sake of my child, which I know is the wrong thing to do, and nobody should ever stay just for the sake of the kids.
But many do, and that's actually, Claire, really honest of you to admit that, because that is a huge reason why many people stay in toxic relationships, unhappy relationships, because they want to protect their children. So actually, give yourself a break, because you were coming at it from a really good perspective. You were coming at it from a loving perspective. But as you say, it doesn't do to pretend in any relationship. But I get it. But I get the headspace that you were in at that time, especially as you put up with so much to that point. So you're at your mum's. You went on to have your second child. Where is he in the picture here? And then indeed bring us into what happened with regards to this niggle of he's lying here, and then, yeah, bring us in.
Yeah, so I was with my mum for 11 months. The house was overcrowded, so I was classed as being homeless with the baby. I got given social housing after 11 months, and we moved in, me and the baby moved into the flat. And it was like perfect. And he then said, "Oh, I'll come and move in with you because you've got somewhere to live now and you're not with your mum anymore." And I think I just thought, yes, like this is what we wanted. And like I'm back with my support system and it might work properly now because I'm with people around me and he can still get to work. And I think I was just in another bubble, because I was pregnant again, and I thought, I can't bring two kids into a mess. Like, surely if he's going to move in, we can make it work.
You have your second baby, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything from there carried on as it was. Like, nothing changed. The routine didn't change. It was still just me and the kids, except now I just had another kid. And he was in and out when he pleased, really. It was as if I was just like it was just a bed for him to lie in.
Did you ever expect that there was somebody else on the scene at any point?
Never. I've come from a broken family myself. So he was always, you don't want to end up like that person who's cheated on, like your mum's cheated on your dad. You're going to end up like, you don't want to end up like her, that sort of thing. And he was always, he was just very against it, always. Like, from the very beginning of the relationship, he'd always say, I could never cheat on somebody. I could never do that to somebody. I'd just leave if I was going to cheat. So I think in my head, I just thought, he's never going to do it. Even if he was the most miserable he's ever been, he's never, ever going to do it.
Mm.
So I think when I found out he did, it was just the biggest blow ever.
So bring us up to what happened. So he's someone that, yeah, has actively said to you, you know, don't do cheating. It's not something that's in my, zeitgeist. And yet you were about to experience the biggest bombshell ever. And take us through that. What happened when you found out and what did you hear? How did it play out?
So I hadn't been very well. I'd had a cold and I just wasn't well. And he'd come round well, he'd rang me actually at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he was like, "Oh, I'm outside. Can you let me in? I've not got my key." So I was like, "Okay." I said, "I'm not well, but yeah, whatever." And he said, "Well, I've come round so I can look after the kids for you because I know you've not been well. So, like, I just thought you could have a lie-in in the morning and I'll get up with the kids." And I thought, all right. And, like, that's never, ever happened. So
That's out of character.
Yeah, I'm just going to take it, though, because I really do not feel good. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to appreciate it. I'm going to have that lie-in. So I let him in. He said, "Oh, can I just borrow your phone? My phone's going to die. I just need to check something on my emails." I was like, "Well, yeah, whatever." Like, he knew my password for everything. I thought I knew his passwords. And yeah, it was just, if you wanted to go on my phone, there's nothing to hide, so have my phone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And were you allowed to go on his phone?
I never asked to get a yes or a no. Like, I never felt the urge to go on it either.
Just felt you didn't feel you needed to?
Yeah. Like, I knew he was a bit shady about things, where he was and who he was with, but I never felt the need to question him on who he was with, because I'm just a very trusting person. And even now, I feel like I've not learnt my lesson because I trust everybody.
Right.
But yeah, I was just very, very trusting of him. So he'd taken my phone and he put it back next to me. And then in the morning, he'd got up with the kids, give them the breakfast. I was like, amazing. Like, I've actually been able to, for the first time in 2 years, well, a year and a half, no, it would have been 2 years, I've actually slept past 7 o'clock in the morning. It was only 8:30 by the time I'd got up, but I thought, this is amazing. Like, I've never, ever had this. And I felt refreshed, and I was like, oh, really appreciative to him. Like, I was like, thank you so much. Like, I really needed that. And he was like, oh, it's fine. He was like, right, I've got to go to work now, but I'll be back later. And I was like, okay. And then about an hour later, I got a text message from my auntie saying, are you at home? Are you on your own? So I replied and I said, I'm at home. Yeah, I'm not very well. I'm just with the kids. And she replied and said, can I ring you? So I thought, usually you'd just ring me. Like, if you wanted a conversation with me, just ring. Why are you asking? I'm on my own. Like, it was just really, I knew something was wrong straight away. And she rang and she was like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, what's up? And she said, are you with your partner? And I said, no. I said, he's just gone. He's just, he woke up with the kids this morning because I didn't feel well. But he's just gone to work. And she went, right, okay, do you know somebody by the name of, I'm just gonna say Susan, do you know somebody by the name of Susan? And I said, no, not a clue. She said, right, she said, are you sure you don't know this person? And I said, 100% I don't know them. And she said, right, okay, I'm gonna send you a message through that Susan has sent to me. I want you to read it, but I don't want you to be upset. And I thought, what is going on? Just tell me. Like, I just felt like I really don't feel well. I'm not in the mood for this. Just tell me what is going on. So she sent me the message through, and the message was, it was so long. It was one of them text messages that you have to click on because it's that long. And it was basically a message from Susan to say, hi, are you Claire's auntie? Is Claire with
so and so?
Because we have been together for 3 years. We are engaged. We have a child.
Oh my God.
A lot more information was on the message, but that was the beginning of the message. And my heart just dropped. straight away I was like, this is a lie. Why is somebody doing this? Why have they gone to my auntie? And I just froze. It was like the world stopped. Everything around me stopped and I was just stood there. And it was just, I just kept rereading the message and reading it again and reading it again. And then she sent through a picture of them together. And I was like, this is real. I was like, this is real. And everything, it was like everything just started playing again. And I was like, what's going on? I was like, this is real. I've got picture evidence here that they're together, that they've got a child together. There's pictures of him and the child, him and her. Like, I just couldn't process what was going on.
So, oh my gosh, talk about pull out the grenade pin. So a woman, Susan, we're calling her Susan. Susan has somehow found your auntie. Does she know your auntie?
No. So Susan had always had suspicions of partner.
Yeah.
From the very beginning of their relationship, always had questions and never believed what he was saying. Obviously, he was living a double life, so she had every right to not know. So neither of us knew about each other.
Oh my gosh. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So essentially, you just said it there. He had been living a double life.
Yeah.
He had two partners, two sets of kids, and he was essentially flip-flopping between the two of you.
Yeah.
Shit. So she'd found your auntie. How? Just she knew.
Well, she'd found me originally. So this is why he came round to delete the message that she'd sent to me, which is why he needed my phone. It wasn't to go on his email, it was to go on Facebook and delete the message that she'd sent. But he knew that I'd been asleep, so I hadn't seen the message. So he deleted it and blocked her before I could see it.
Wow, he really knew what he was doing. My goodness. So this lady's got in touch. She's basically dropped this massive bombshell that actually your partner is her partner,
mm-hmm.
and you've both got kids, and he has been, yeah. I mean, so bloody hell. How did you feel in that moment when you say just like, oh my goodness, couldn't believe it? Were you didn't believe it to start with, and then obviously the photos confirmed it for you. So what did you think and what did you do next?
I think I was just in a bit of, like, even still, even though I'd seen the pictures, I'd read the message about a million times, I was still in such disbelief. And my auntie had sent me her number, so I rang her.
And what happened then? So you rang Susan?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I just said, hi, I'm Claire. I'd like to speak to you about the message that you've sent to my auntie. What can you tell me that isn't in that message? I need more proof that this has been going on. Like, just nothing seemed to set in me that it was real. Like, even like the picture of him holding his other child at the hospital, like, even that just wasn't setting into my brain that this was actually happening.
Well, often when we go through something as shocking as that, actually our brain completely shuts down just to protect us, and we do go very numb. People often report that when they've experienced, you know, grief, and they kind of think, oh, I don't really feel anything, or they hear something so shocking, your brain actually cannot process it. So you go into survival mode, which particularly as a mum of young kids as well, I would anticipate that is exactly what was happening. You were processing this information, and you, by design, our brains are very complex and very clever, and saying, quite honestly, Claire, if we let you feel this, you're going to implode. You know, you need to kind of get some sort of sense out of it. So you have a conversation with her, and did that then completely confirm to you that what she had said was indeed true, that she had also been in a relationship with your partner? And did she know about you?
No, she didn't know anything. She'd found out about, so she thought I was the other woman originally. yeah, she found out before I found out. She found out 3 days earlier and was trying to find me within those 3 days.
How does she find out?
Through a mutual friend of theirs. So I didn't know this person. He used to work with them. So she used to work for him. And that's how they met, through work. But I was never allowed to his workplace. That is why. But the person who told her is somebody they used to work with, because he was aware of me. He was aware that we had a child together. At the time, it was just the one child. He didn't know that we had had a second. So he was aware of that he was cheating on me and never said anything. But he went up to her basically and said, you need to know, like, he's been messing you about for the past 3 years. He's had another partner. He's got another child. This is a name. So she just went full on Facebook search, every single Claire in the area that she told him, that he told her that she lived, and found me.
I mean, she went for it. And so, I mean, that conversation you had with her, what was that like? Was there any, I mean, that must have been very strange. You're speaking to a stranger, but yeah, a stranger that is so intertwined in your life. I mean, did you feel sympathy? Did you, I mean, get on? Sounds a bit of a weird thing for me to say, but was there, I mean, how did you both exit that phone call and what did you do next?
Yeah, we got on straight away. It was really strange. Like, we were, I don't know whether it was because everything was just so similar. Like, we looked, we don't look exactly the same, but we looked similar.
Are you both of the, is she also white British?
Yes, yeah.
Right.
Like, things that he'd done for us, like places that we'd been, was the same. Certain restaurants that we'd been, he'd taken us both. Certain gifts that he'd given to me, he'd given to her. Like, it was just so many things that were so similar that there was just no way that, like, he'd just mirrored us. So we literally discussed it for about 2 hours. He didn't know at this point that I knew. So it was literally like we were CSI, like, both of us together, we were like, we are on a mission here. We're going to expose him. We're going to expose him together. We just need to get all the evidence. So she had two phones. She was ringing him on one phone and I was on the other phone. She was trying to get him to confess it on the phone. So we had a recording of it, even though, why do we need any more evidence? Do you know what I mean? Like, we've got all the evidence.
I mean, I cannot imagine how you felt in that moment. And then picking it up and kind of moving forwards, when you said, so you'd had this long conversation with her. You'd realised you're pretty much carbon copies of each other. You've both been experiencing the same tactics from him. Did you establish as well, you know, where that when he wasn't with you, he was with her? And what about the children? I mean, were the children of similar ages?
Yeah, so we literally did. We were on the phone for about 2 hours and we were going through messages, like messages that, so same date, same time, to say if he was with me, what he'd be saying to her, where he was, and the same the other way, like if he was with her, where he was saying he was to me. We were going through pictures of the same date, like he'd come and see me and one of the children for an hour and then he'd go and see her. It was literally like time stamped it all, sending pictures back and to. It was just, it felt like it was going on for weeks. This was all in the same day, like this conversation.
Yeah, I bet time just stood still. So what did you do with this information, the two of you? And indeed, at this point, he doesn't know that you now know. So did you have that moment to confront him?
I did, yeah, but it wasn't. So I was expecting to do it as like a big sucker punch, like, I know you've been cheating on me. And it just didn't end up being that. He was on a phone call with Susan and Susan was saying, I know that you have got another partner and I know that you have got another child. Well, another two children. And he said, so I was on the phone call as well, but he didn't know I was on the phone call. And he said, I swear down, I have not got another partner and I have not got any more children. I have just got the one child with you. And my brain just flipped and I thought, deny me all you want. Do not deny your children. Like, the respect, like, just, I just saw red straight away and I unmuted myself and I said, do not ever deny your children ever again. And he just put the phone down.
Oh my gosh.
Mic drop. You unmuted and went, oh my.
Yeah.
And he just put the phone down. What a coward.
I then tried to ring him. No answer. Rang his sister. No answer. Rang his mum. No answer. Yeah. And I was just, so I got in the car. I said to my sister, I said, please watch the kids. I need to go. And she said, why, where do you need to go? And I said, I just need to sort something. So I told my sister at this point that I've been being cheated on for the past 3 years. So I got in the car and I went to where he lived. And as I was pulling up, he was pulling up. And I got out of the car and I just said to him, you are a coward. And he said, I know. And that was it. And I just thought, I was like, what do you mean you know?
Yeah, that was it.
I was like, no, you need to say something else. You need to apologize. You need to grovel. I was like, you need to do something else other than just say, I know. And I thought, so I said to him, I said, why did you do it? And he said, it was my ego. And I said, what do you mean it was your ego? I said, there's one thing doing that as a one-off. I carried this on for 3 years. I said, it wasn't your ego. And he said, I don't know why I did it. I was trapped by her.
Oh my God. Sorry, I sound like I'm having an asthma attack over here. I'm sorry. I've heard so many situations, scenarios, and stories. I'm a relationship counselor, and yet I have to be honest with you, Claire. Never have I been shocked and like, oh my goodness, about hearing this unpack and hearing the absolute. And I know I am coming from this as best I can from non-judgmental, utter bilge coming from his, you know, coming from this human being. And to flip it, I mean, so that was that. So there was no argument. I mean, but what happened next then? Did you tell him we're done? Or I mean, what about her? I mean, what transpired after that?
Yeah, so there was no argument. I was expecting an argument. I had more of an argument with his sister. She knew about it. His family knew about it.
No.
Yeah, they were hiding
the family. Wait. The family who were always vile to you and you say didn't accept you because you were of a different race and religion, but the family knew about it.
Yeah, they knew about it all. And they weren't happy about her either. They were horrible to her, probably even more than they were to me. But yeah, they knew about it and they kept his secret and they carried on as if it was just another day. And one day we'd go and see them with the kids and they'd go and see the grandparents and then the next day she'd go with her kid and see the grandparents. It was just, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this just takes it into a whole new level. So not only was he living a double life, not only did he have two women who didn't know and two sets of children, his family... He was flip-flopping and they all were in on it or at least enabled it and knew about it. So, and kept it secret from both of you women. They were just accepting these two sets of families.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bloody hell, Claire. So there you had the big bombshell. And what kind of, what was the conclusion after that then? You know, you'd sort of had a bit of a showdown, not the one you'd hoped for, unfortunately. You've got Susan as well, who's in the mix, and you have these lovely children, which I don't doubt have been super loved by their mums. Are they loved by their dads? And how did the situation end up? Because you did start this episode saying that he was your ex. I shouldn't say it, but I'm gonna, because it is what it is. I'm very pleased he's your ex, because this is not in any way a healthy relationship. So what was the outcome?
So it's probably gonna not be what you expect, but for the next 6 months, he played us off against each other, he and Susan. He carried the relationships on with both of us, which we were both being told wasn't happening. He'd convinced us both that we were the one that he wanted and the one who he was staying with because he loved us. For the next 6 months, we were both still in a relationship with him, thinking that the other was being the toxic ex. And trying to stop from seeing the other child.
How did that play out, though? So were you not having any contact with each other, as in you and Susan?
We were initially, but I think I was just... She could see it straight away that he was playing us both off, and I think I just was being naive again, and I think I just thought that it was... Like he's because he was telling me, I want you, I don't want her. I was believing it because I don't know why I was believing it. I think it's just what I wanted to hear.
He sounds to me like a prolific liar and manipulator. And he really did do a job on the pair of you. And again, I'm not judging, and I'm sure people will have opinion, but I'm not, because until you have walked a day in someone else's shoes, you will not know how it feels. But you are out of that now. So how did it end?
So I received a message from Susan saying that he'd started being a bit more aggressive towards me. Not physically, but it did end up physical in the end. But it was just like the conversations were very, like if I'd bring up Susan, it was very, don't speak about her. If you speak about her again, you'll know about it, sort of thing. And it was the same for her. He did get physical with her a lot. And I received a message from her to say that he had battered her, basically.
Oh.
And just to keep yourself and the kids safe, please stay away from him, sort of thing. And a few days before, I'd had a physical, he'd strangled me, basically.
Oh, Claire.
And said it was play fighting, but I couldn't breathe. It was the head and tail of it. It wasn't play fighting. And if it was, it shouldn't have gotten that far. But I just had a realisation that we are with a dangerous person. He's not supportive in any way. He's manipulative. He's a liar. He's abusing both of us. We are going to end up... The girl's on a Netflix documentary of our abusers killed us. It was playing in my head and I could see it. I could see it happening, that we are going to get killed by this person, if not one of us, both of us, and our children are going to end up without a mum and going to be left with him if we don't get out now. So I reported him for abuse. I got us both out of the relationship. It was the proudest thing I have ever done, is that.
I'm going to give you round of applause, and I hope that doesn't sound patronizing in any way, but I know how goddamn hard it is to get that strength and that moment of clarity. So you reported him to the police?
Yeah. And I'd said that he'd also attacked Susan.
Yep.
And they checked to see whether Susan had made a police report, which she hadn't, and they said to me, would you agree to us contacting her and saying that you have come forward. And I said, yeah. So they rang her, said that I'd come forward, and she did a statement as well. Yeah, and neither of us have had any contact with him since.
God, I'm so bloody proud of you both. I'm so proud of you both. We know that, you know, domestic violence, it's increasing, and it's so brave, especially when you have been coercively controlled, as you both had been, to have had that strength, that moment of clarity, which, as you said actually at some point during this episode, that your children saved you. And actually, when we can focus on something that really matters to us, the Achilles heel, and think, look, if I don't do this, what's the outcome going to be? And it sounds like they were a huge motivation for it, as well as yourself and as well as Susan, because you knew deep down, you knew all along this was a wrong relationship and he was a wrong person. You'd just been caught up, like I say, in this trauma bond, in this toxic cycle, as it sounds as though she was in exactly the same position. And so from that moment on, you never saw or spoke to him again. Did he go to jail, do you know?
He's not in jail currently, I don't think. He's on bail for both of us. We're just waiting for the next step, really. Which is, I've said, I don't care what happens to him. I'm out. That's all that I'm bothered about. And he can't, like, there's mental scars that are never going to go, but I'm never going to hear his voice in my house again. That's the thing that I'm glad about. Like, I don't have to worry that I'm going to wake up to a message like that again of somebody, because somebody just doesn't value me enough to be loyal and not cheat on me.
So how are you now, Claire? What is life like for you now with you and your kids having gone through this monumental situation?
Life is peaceful. I have a new partner who I absolutely adore, and my children adore him. And it's just full circle. He was my first ever boyfriend as a child, so it's like we've come back together, and it's like we were always meant for each other. We just weren't meant for each other during the time of our lives that we weren't, like, we had to go through something to make us who we are today. And
there's a lot to be said in right person, wrong time. It does tend to happen quite a lot, actually. And how does he treat you?
Like the queen I am. There's nothing that he wouldn't do for me. Yeah, we're really, really happy. Now I just feel free and happy and in love. but yeah, I am very happy now.
To end this episode with you saying that you feel free and happy and in love, I think for everybody listening, nobody wishes it more for someone than I do, and I hope all of us as a collective do for you, because you've been through a horrific situation and scenario. You found that bravery, which I don't take at all for granted or likely, to expose and report an abuser. And, you know, I wish Susan all the best as well. Do you keep in touch with her at all?
We do briefly, yeah. Checking on the kids and stuff, obviously the siblings, and one day they will inevitably meet, and we want them to meet because they are siblings, even if they have got a rubbish dad.
And finally, what would you like people to take away from your situation in this episode?
I think just know your self-worth. If you are the person being cheated on, or the person who is even cheating, like, your self-worth is worth a lot more than you realise. And it's taken me a long time to realise mine.
And this is a difficult question, because I'm sure there would be plenty of things that you would change in some aspects, but is there anything that you would change in particular around what you've been through?
I think I just wouldn't have been sucked in the second time. After I found out about the affair happening, if I could change anything, it would be going back to him and allowing him to then twist me back up in his lies and become another lie with him. Because he was doing it to both of us again, and we were both aware of it. That's my biggest regret of the whole thing. Like, I can't regret being with him because I wouldn't have my kids, but I regret the 6 months that he put us through of us feeling like we were in competition with each other. If I could change anything, it would be that. I would have just walked away and just held my hands up and said, it's just what it is.
Trust in that gut instinct. And in your case, in that one, yeah, let the head kick in as opposed to the heart. But you are where you are. And I'm so happy that you are definitely moving into what I absolutely know are going to be the best years of your life. So thank you so much, Claire, for sharing your story with us and just sending a lot of love to you, to your lovely children, and indeed to Susan and hers as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Affair Podcast. If you've been affected by any of the issues raised in today's episode, please see the show notes for organisations who can offer support and advice. Don't forget to subscribe so you are the first to know when a brand new episode drops. But until then, I'm Anna Williamson, and this has been The Affair. This podcast is a Curve Sounds production.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.